Does anyone want to ask a question, or is it all just perfectly clear, utterly convincing, and bad effects of psilocybin? Somebody once said, what's wrong with DMT? And I said, well, nothing unless you fear death by astonishment. but your question is a good one. First of all, you know, I talked a lot about how what we have to do is destroy and ablate ego. However, there is a very small percentage of us who have a hard time creating any ego whatsoever. And for these people, boundary dissolution is no problem. Their boundaries are dissolving all the time on them. I would say that they are at the contraindicated end of the spectrum, that if you're fearful already and fighting to keep from being overwhelmed by confusion at what's going on in your life at the paper box factory or something, then probably tossing in mega doses of hallucinogens is not the way for you to do it. Or if you do, if you're just bent on doing that, then I would say do it in the presence of some kind of professional. And how you find a professional in this legal climate, you'll have to discuss with me privately. I don't want to make it sound, though, I mean, it's a tricky thing. I don't want to make it sound like it's absolutely riskless. Physically, I think it's pretty safe, unless you are odd in some way. But you need to know, you know, you don't want to find out you're odd an hour and a half into it. But the problem comes with the mind. You know, if you are delicately balanced, if your whole life has been about not looking at that or that or that, then this is not your game. You know, you should go back to watching Jeopardy. And the kind of person who is called to this is a person who has an exploring soul. I mean, I am not a courageous person in the sense that you won't find me shooting white water. You don't see me, you know, rappelling down the faces of cliffs. But from the time I was the tiniest little kid, I was into the weird. What's weird? Weird is the compass heading. And if you keep your compass always pointed toward the peculiar, the outre, the bizarre, the unspeakably alien, then, you know, you'll find these places. The people who think life is all cut and dried and are perfectly happy to have Carl Sagan and George Bush explain all of reality have never left the broad, swift stream of mundane thinking. But, you know, off in the byways and tributaries, there's a wonderful alchemical saying, which I generally mangle, but I think it goes something like this. The tallest mountains, the oldest books, the widest deserts, there you will find the stone. And what it is it's a prescription for exploring weirdness. That's all. It's not going to be on MTV. It's not going to be in, God forbid, Esquire. It's going to come from, you know, doing your homework, visiting strange people in strange lands, and checking it out. What I can't give you, to return to your question, is I can't give you a guarantee that it will be fun. You know, the Rolling Stones have that wonderful line, you don't get what you want, you get what you need. This stuff is ruthless. And if there's something that you're trying not to look at, it's going to get you, for sure. But ask the veterans. Most people will tell you, you learn more from the bad trips than you do from the good ones. The good ones are ecstatic and connect you up to nature and other people. The bad ones show you your kinks and your limitations and your thought errors and that sort of thing. It's not an easy row to hoe. That's why I think there's a little bit of social confusion about it. one of the things I should make clear is I really advocate high doses rarely. I think the worst thing you can do is get into a style of psychedelic diddling where, you know, you take half a gram every day. All this is doing is giving you a tolerance to psilocybin. You're not having the psilocybin experience. You're having the tolerance to psilocybin experience. The way to do these things is to do them rarely so that your whole system can reassert itself and come to equilibrium, and then just slam it. And this is amazing. I mean, I think that this works for all these psychedelics. I'm an inveterate cannabis user, and I wish in a way that I could get a slightly better grip on my cannabis use, because I think the real way to do cannabis is like once a week by yourself in silent darkness with the strongest stuff you can get and then immense amounts of it. And, you know, people call it a recreational drug and a this and a that. Hey, done that way, it will catapult you into places where I love it. The great place to get to on cannabis, and some people never in their whole life touch it, is the place where you say, my God, I've done too much. It's not easy, folks, but it's worth shooting for. Basically, what you should do is, you know, do some homework, read some books, talk to your friends, and then hang on, Hannah. It's like, you know, it's very much like riding an enormous roller coaster. You know, once that baby rolls out of the station, do not stand up. Do not try to climb out of your car. Shut up and hang on with the faith that most people have lived through this. Somebody else. Yeah.
Was that the end-all-based actually changed people to use them. And the important thing that I learned is I can't agree with that assertion. It seems that many people, it seems like only a really few people are changed by it. Only those who are predisposed to change. And I'd like, one of the questions you ask doesn't make it better, doesn't make it different. And I'm just not convinced at all. When I see people making nothing and going around and doing too many things and just being a jerk to their work, I mean, they're picking out and going and doing nothing and, you know, I don't see it happening.
Well, my argument would be that people don't take it enough and they don't take it frequently enough. That there are a lot of people who really would rather not get loaded, but who feel they must take some psychedelic drug in order to keep membership in their peer group. So what they do, you know, you can always spot these people because their first question at the get-go is, will I be able to drive? I love this question because, you know, it indicates you've got a real tough nut on your hands. In every sense of the word, no, you will not be able to drive. So, you know, one of the things that inspires me to do this is I want to get to the people who've taken 3 grams of mushrooms and the people who've taken 150 mics of LSD. And I want to convince those people that they never got close to what I'm talking about, even though they had a life-transforming experience and saw things totally differently. They never got close to what I'm talking about. And so what you have to do is convince people to take high doses, and then that's to break them through, and then frequently enough that they don't forget what the deal is. So I think if you take a psychedelic population and divide it into those who have done 5 grams and above, then you will see an exceptional slice, but not the dabblers. The dabblers don't count. And we all can be, or at times, guilty of this, I think. And then, is that your last question? Does that do it for you? Or do you want to be thought psychotic? You choose. Well, I'd love competition. I mean, the competition is terrible. That's the entire basis of my success. Yeah. You, because you were before, if you still wish. Right. Why? Because, I mean, I don't know if it's preferable, but here's the thing. People are going to think you're a nut if you come down and say that Johann Sebastian Bach or Jerry Garcia is God. And this is what you will have to say if you listen to the Dead or the B minor Mass. So what I'm interested in is I want to know the thing in itself, not what it does to Bach, not what it does to a river flowing through a forested valley. I want to see what it can do with darkness and silence. And I think most people think it'll be boring, probably because they've been hanging out with these beady-eyed gurus meditating, and God knows there's nothing more boring on earth than most meditation. However, psychedelic, sitting in a darkened room on 5 dried grams of psilocybin mushrooms is nothing like meditating. And that's where it can get at you. My relationship to it is always one of, I want to know what it is. And so I think this sensory deprivation method is the only way to get at that. Other people might not like that. People say, well, you mean you put down the whole thing of going into nature? Isn't nature the great affirmation in all this? And the answer is, yeah, but it works for me sort of without the drugs. Plus, and this is just maybe my own weirdness, but I'll share it with you, I have noticed that these things are incredibly disruptive of the ordinary flow of casuistry. Do you all know the concept synchronicity? Well, if you don't stay in your room with the lights out and the phone unplugged, and the damnedest things will happen to you. I mean, you couldn't pay me to go into an American city, even mildly loaded, because adventures beckon. Now, some people like that, you know. Some people say, you know, let's take 500 mics and go meet weird people. Uh-uh, not this cookie.